My dear friends in Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus. Again, a portion of the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. He, Jesus, said to his disciples, "But you, who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." This is God's word. Please be seated. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. When do gates prevail? Well, gates prevail when they are do what they are designed to do, right? So when your child gate at home prevents your toddler from tumbling down the basement stairs, that gate has prevailed. It did what it's supposed to do. Or when the gate in your backyard fence keeps your dog in the yard, that gate has prevailed. And for the most part, we like it when gates prevail, when they do what they're designed to do. Obviously, that's why we put them there. Once in a while, though, gates do not prevail. Gates fail. You remember a few years back when some cows got on the loose down on Highway 24 near Road 16, and a semi had to swerve to miss them over the little ditch and right into the side of that Napoleon Township building there, put a big hole in the side of the building? Yeah, it's not so good when gates fail. Except when it's the gates of hell. We like it when those gates fail. What kind of gates does hell have? You know, it's not the kind of gates that are designed to keep us out. Not by any means. Just the opposite. Just the opposite. Jesus says, "For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And they who enter by it are many." Oh, it is easy to get into hell. Maybe the gates of hell should be more compared to, you know, a live trap with a spring-loaded door. So easy to get in and impossible to get out. Paul even uses that kind of language in 1 Timothy when he says that talks about those who fall into a trap and whose foolish and harmful desires lead them to destruction. It is easy to get into hell. Those gates are big and wide and they are open, and it is as easy to go through those gates as it is to stumble into a trap. All you have to do is do what your sinful nature naturally wants to do, and you're in. Love money, you're in. Adhere to false teachings that your itching ears want to hear, that tickle your fancy and make you feel good, you're in. Engage in sexual relations outside marriage, you're in. Steal, you're in. Gossip, you're in. Swear, you're in. You pick your door, your gate. Any one of them will work. It's so easy. And as if that's not easy enough, it gets even easier. Because Scripture tells us it's not just the things that we do wrong that get us into hell, but it's also the good things that we fail to do. James said, "Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him that is sin." It is literally that easy to go through those gates. You can do nothing and still get in. But you know, it's even easier than that. Bible says we are by nature the objects of God's wrath. We enter the gates of hell simply by virtue of being born to sinful parents and inheriting that fallen nature, that old Adam from them. "I was sinful at my birth," David confessed. "Even farther back than that, from the moment my mother conceived me." The gates of hell have prevailed upon us by doing exactly what they are designed to do, giving us easy access to hell, and then slamming the door behind us and trapping us. As St. Paul said to the Galatians, the scriptures declare that the whole world is a prisoner of sin. Can you feel that sense of imprisonment in your life? That sense of entrapment? I know that I do. I think every God-fearing Christian who seriously loves God and wants to please Him, we all feel this. If you don't feel it, that's a serious problem, because how do you set someone free who doesn't even know they are in bondage? But right along with Paul, I say, and I think you say it with me, the good that I want to do, I can't do it. And the evil that I hate, instead I keep on doing that. I know what you mean, Paul. I know exactly what you mean. I feel like I'm trapped. Like the gates of hell have me hemmed in on all sides. And I must confess with Paul that I live in a body of death. And I can't get out. Do you feel that in your life like I do? Do you feel that sense of entrapment, like the gates of hell have closed on you? Maybe you're hung up on pornography or lust. It's so easy. And you keep promising yourself that you're going to stop it. But the gates of hell are not that easily overcome simply by our personal resolve to do better. I just can't help it. And if I stop something over here, it's going to be something else. I can't help it. Maybe alcohol has a grip on your life. And you keep saying to yourself, well, I could stop if I wanted to, but you can't. Even when it negatively affects your family or your job or your life or your reputation, you still can't stop, because the gates of hell will not be conquered by our good intentions. Maybe foul language or cutting language or coarse jokes or disrespectful behavior, or insatiable coveting, always wanting more material things, or cheating. Maybe these have become ingrained in the way you conduct yourself. And hopefully, as a Christian, you look in the mirror and you hate that about yourself. And while self-loathing over these things is perhaps a step in the right direction toward repentance, by itself, it will not prevail against the gates of hell. You know, Jesus once asked in Matthew chapter 23, how will you escape being condemned to hell? And I hear the Lord ask me that question, and I want to say to Him, Lord, I'm going to try to be more like Samson in Judges chapter 16. And with the super strength of my moral resolve, I am going to tear the gates off of the ramparts of hell, and I am going to walk free of my sin. I can do it, Lord. Or Lord, maybe I could be like the Israelites in Joshua chapter 6. Remember when you gave them the instructions to march around the city of Jericho and then to give a shout and to blow the trumpets and the walls would come tumbling down? Lord, if you would do that for me, just give me a clear set of instructions, a set of principles that I can easily follow. And this is the way so many evangelical preachers like to preach. They think the whole Bible is a series of principles that you follow to make yourself holy. Lord, give me a set of principles, instructions that I can follow step by step by step, and then I will be holy, and the gates of hell and the walls of hell will tumble down at my feet. If only it were that easy to prevail. If only it were as easy as resolving to do better. If only it were as easy as following a clean set of principles and steps. But the gates of hell are just too easy to enter, and they are too strong to break out of. I just can't stop myself. How will you escape being condemned? That must have been the very question that Paul asked as he sat in prison in Jerusalem. He was about to be run through a mockery of a trial and then martyred like James, the brother of John, had just been. And there he sat in this prison cell, maybe asking himself, how am I going to be delivered from condemnation? But of course, there was nothing that Peter could do in that situation by his own effort or by his own strength. Here he was behind these heavy prison gates with his hands in shackles. There was no escape until the Savior intervened. And here's how it reads in Acts chapter 12. As he sat in prison, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared. He struck Peter on the side, woke him up. "Get up," he said, and the chains fell off of Peter's wrists. And Peter followed him out of the prison. They passed the first and the second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. And if you know anything about the Scriptures, when it talks about the angel of the Lord, it's talking about the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, the Christ, the deliverer, the conqueror, the Savior. It is the same Christ, conqueror, deliverer, Savior, who descended into our prison, not as a prisoner with us, but as we just sang, he comes the prisoner to release. He did not come as a prisoner. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. He was born free of this fallen nature that all you and I all have, that are our automatic ticket into hell. He obeyed God in the face of every temptation, never failed to do what God expected him to do. And so Hebrews says he was without sin. Without sin. Until, that is, he voluntarily took our sin upon himself and carried it to the cross and gave up his life to pay the price. The gates of hell are powerless against that kind of love, that kind of grace. Those gates could not draw him in by temptation, and they could not hold him in when on Easter he descended into hell victoriously and then rose again. He prevailed. Hell's gates failed. And now you are his church. You are his church. That means that you prevail too. But remember, you don't prevail by a decision you make, by some resolve of your will, or by following a certain set of steps and principles. You prevail by faith in Christ. And as Christians, we need to continually ask ourselves, you know, which is greater in my life? Which is greater, my failing or his prevailing? Which is greater, the fetters of my sin or the power of the cross to break those fetters? Which is greater, the gates of hell that constantly draw me in and entrap me, or the grace of God that flings those gates open wide and lets me pass through free again? We live by faith that the grace of Christ is greater by far than any guilt of sin. And that when he sets us free, we are free indeed, which is why we just sang, "The gates of brass before him burst, and the iron fetters yield." "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," said Peter. And Jesus said, "I will build my church on that rock, upon that strong, powerful, apostolic confession of Christ as the one who has broken our bondage, who has stormed the gates of hell and opened them for us. Against the church, those gates can never prevail. And you are that church. You are in Christ. Christ is in you. He's gotten us the victory. That is assured. But now, between here and heaven, there's a lot of time for us to work out our salvation, to work out what it means day by day to be a redeemed child of God in the way we live, in the way we talk, in the way we think, in the way we do things. And in those little battles against sin and temptation, Christ is there with us, our champion. And here again, we are empowered by Him to storm those gates of hell ourselves with Him at our side and to win these battles, which is why Paul can charge the Romans in chapter 12. He says, overcome evil with good. Really? Overcome? Me? Me overcome? Yeah, you overcome evil with good. Can you do it? Well, you sure can. You sure can. Listen to the school theme this year that we will be worshiping and going to school under. From Philippians, Paul says, I can do everything. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I know by myself I am no match for the gates of hell, for the fetters of my sin. But in Christ, you bet I can overcome those gates. In Christ, I can get a grip on alcoholism. Many have done so. In Christ, I can learn to control my tongue and my temper and my behavior. In Christ, I can find the strength to honor marriage and God's plan for sexuality. In Christ, I can learn to be content and to love you as I would like to be loved. In Christ, I can do everything, for He gives me the strength. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against His church. In the name of Christ, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.